Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We're in. We've got three hosts. Cassie Delaney.
That's me.
We've got Sophie White.
Smisha.
And Jen O'Dwyer, that's me, O-D-W-Y-E-R. Welcome.
Connoisseur too.
On today's show, I've got a couple of little creeps to open us.
Excellent.
We're heading to Florida for our first. A 69-year-old man. He's about to face
Florida
animal
men.
Cruelty charges.
Apple cruelty?
Animal.
Oh, the other kind.
The other type of thing. And he's after shooting the neighbour's cat with a BB gun. So
oh,
the man,
fuck.
Who has yet to be identified, told officers he became angry after the cat looked at him like he owned the place.
Right.
Which they do tend to do before relieving itself on the property.
Oh, dear.
He later, the poor cat had to be put down due to his injuries. Heidi, whose son found the injured animal hiding under a trailer park, trailer, said it was pathetic. It was the most saddest thing to see a little animal. Literal tears running down the animal's face.
What?
Oh my God.
So the shooter said, look, poor judgment call on my part. And I will admit that I have shot at cats before, but never have I connected. It was not my intention to hurt the cat. All I wanted to do was get it out of my
no,
walkway.
No, I'm actually too... I'm not able to listen to a story
now,
about crying animals today.
I'm quite upset with you here, Jennifer, because last night we had a little tete-a-tete in the Mother of Creep WhatsApp group chat.
Yeah.
I said something along the lines of, oh my God, I'm going to fuck you two up tomorrow.
Mm.
Jen said, exciting. And I said, I'm almost worried for you. Cassie said, ooh, I have a dark one too. Maybe too dark, but I'll judge the tone tomorrow. And Jen said the words, I'll bring some light.
Well,
and now she has brought us a crying animal.
There's more. But wait, there's more. So,
and when it's gone, they're gone.
When it's gone, it's gone. Another thing happened in Virginia. A very strange thing. So police and townspeople in Waynesboro trying to figure out why somebody is abducting pet cats and returning them.
Why the cat theme?
Returning them.
I have some bad cat stuff in mine as well.
Hairless underbellies.
Hairless underbellies.
So since December.
They're all getting Brazilians.
He's neutering them.
Wait, it's like an inverted Brazilian.
Wait, it's so weird. So they're all already neutered.
He's opening them up to see. He probably thinks they're street cats.
They're all got collars. They're specifically... Oh, weird. Yes. So at least seven cats have shown up back home, shaved belly, shaved groin, and shaved legs. So the shavings appear to be sort of surgical. No harm done to the animals, but they did seem skittish after arriving home.
He's probably just like shaving them to see if they have scars.
Maybe.
To see if they've been neutered, because that's what charities, animal charities will neuter street cats. Yeah. Where there's a problem. Do you want to hear a great... I am not a believer in coincidences or signs or all of that bullshit, right?
Go on.
At all. But, and I've told you this, you know the way people, when they get drunk at times, they will message exes and other people that they shouldn't talk to.
Yeah.
When I get drunk, I DM animal shelters. And I
didn't
ask
you
them,
used to DM Made in Chelsea stars?
No, it was Demi Lovato to make sure that she was okay. Because I think that she just looks like someone who needs a friend.
She does.
Then isn't Demi they?
What?
Isn't Demi non-binary?
I think Demi is she again. They've never responded to my messages anyway.
Sad.
Yeah.
But the animal shelters?
The animal shelters.
Do they
have
respond?
Started responding. Because now I'll specifically... So what I did a couple of weeks ago when this behavior began was I was filling out the online forms and just pre-registering my interest and getting past the initial stage of approval. So that
foster.
If I were to fall in love with an animal on Instagram, I could like that, go get in it. And get it first. Because it's a competitive process adopting an animal, especially the really cute ones.
I see.
Okay. So I was away for the weekend with family and I decided that what I needed in life was a dog. Not a person, not anybody else, just a dog. And so this little post came up for this little Shih Tzu Cavapoo mix called Jade that looked gorgeous. And I was straight in the DMs.
Sorry,
and I was
Shih Tzu Cockapoo mix. A shitty cock.
One of those dogs it's that looks like a teddy bear.
Shitty cock.
A shit poo.
Yeah. One of those little things that looks small with the cute big eyes and looks like a teddy bear. And I was like, I'm going to take that one. So I DM'd Wicklow Animal Welfare and was like, can I have her? I love her. And they were like, you're too late, someone else has already come in. But then when you get caught in the discourse and you say that you're available to adopt a dog,
suddenly they're gonna give you something
they're
else.
Gonna start pushing out these
and
things,
they're gonna push the one that's been hanging
then,
around for ages.
Yeah, so they were like, wait till you hear about Muffin.
I'm sorry, I cannot stop laughing because of this tweet. Do you remember the tweet?
Don't. What is this got to do with Muffin?
Yeah, well, it's in the wheelies.
Dog. Yeah, go on.
Do you remember the tweet? Dog shelters, don't buy puppies, consider adoption instead. Also dog shelters, this is piss fingers. She's 19 years old and can't live in a home with children, books or electricity. Piss fingers is nervous around hair and needs 400 acres of land and an orchard of extinct fruit.
Sounds
piss
like
fingers
muffin.
And
right.
A friend of mine, I can't remember what, we were having a particularly fun day with piss fingers, me and my friend, and then she got sick and I sent her a bunch of flowers and I got the florist to write dear piss fingers.
I love that. So anyway, that sounds
just
muffin,
love thinking about
not
piss fingers.
Dissimilar to Muffin. So anyway, I went and found Muffin's post. Poor Muffin has been in the shelter for a really long time, right? And then immediately, I mean, I had a few drinks as well. I was like, well, I can't not take Muffin.
Obviously
why is
not.
No one loving Muffin? And Muffin is this beautiful.
And you love Muffin.
But I was like, do I have to change the name? Because I can't be out like I can't be outside shouting Muff. Like,
no.
But then Muffin is this beautiful little cocker terrier mix. Beautiful little thing. Looks gorgeous. Anyway, I instantly fell in love. Had to turn around to my roommates, who are my parents, and say, by the way, I'm fostering a dog for Christmas. It's not a foster, it's a full adoption.
Yeah.
And got them to come round to the idea of fostering. Now, Trish is in on it being a full adoption.
Yeah.
Tom will never listen to this. We've got a couple of weeks to convince Tom. But the next day we were all in the park, right? And this little black dog that looks like Muffin came running up to me, Mikey and Becca. And we were like, go over to Tom and Trish. We're like, go over there, go over there. And we were like, make them fall in love with Muffin. Make them fall in love with Muffin. And the owner of the dog was like, what are you doing? And we were like, we're trying to convince them to adopt this dog called Muffin, who looks really like your dog. And so he starts going, Muffin. And then I thought he was calling the dog back as a joke. And we were like, sorry, what's the dog's name? It's fucking Puffin. And they're identical. And then Puffin ran up to Trish and Tom and they were like, this is a gorgeous dog. And I was like, come on. I was like, you can't fucking look at a robin in a garden and think that's your dead mother talking to you and not think that this is a sign from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior himself, that a little black Muffin. Dog called Puffin came running up.
So that's it. Done deal.
Pretty much. Now, I'm having second thoughts because I'm not a responsible adult right now. But true. I think I'm going to still go for it. Hope Wicklow Animal Welfare aren't fans of the creep type.
No,
I love Muffin and will give Muffin a great home.
Oh.
I do have to say, I'm going out on Saturday for the day. So I don't know if like someone will look up. Mom and Dad will look up.
Sorry,
Muffin.
Is this dog arrived?
No, but I've told them that I can collect him today.
Oh, this is cute.
Is it a good
today?
Idea?
We're getting a new pod
today.
Dog. So I what mean, kind of dog is it again?
I'll show you a picture of Muffin.
A small black dog?
Small little black dog. And I just think the signs are there.
I mean, that was a fairly big sign.
I was not ready to adopt something else because obviously Scouty broke my heart so much.
Oh, for Jesus' sake.
Look,
Muffin. That's a lovely looking Muffin.
Do you know who Muffin looks exactly like? Who's your man out of The Scent of a Woman?
Al Pacino. Wow.
That's who Muffin looks like.
Wait, is it Al Pacino or is it the other guy?
Al Pacino, the little Italian-American one.
This is interesting now because this was only Puffin. Yesterday.
And that was Puffin, the same dog.
That's just crazy. That's crazy. It's a sign. Do you need a lift to go collect the dog? I'll do that.
No, I think I could do with the alone time. I'll listen to a podcast. I'll go down to Wicklow. I'll collect the dog. I'll come home. I'll bond with the dog. It'll solve all my trauma.
True.
And I'll this have is a great. Nice time.
I love this.
Because I was looking at a knitting pattern for, this is going to make you sad now, but like I was just looking at it and I was like, oh, that'd be lovely for Scouty. And then I was like, oh, I've got no one to knit little jackets for.
Welcome Muffin. To the world,
Enter
Muffin.
Muffin.
Yeah, I think we're there now. It's the start of a new year. I turned 34 yesterday. Creep Dive is 12
Hang on.
Today.
We're recording an episode right now. What? Which are we on a main or a high?
This is today's main.
No, mainers won't tolerate this shit.
They will.
They no,
will.
No. We better move on. We better
no,
do something.
Mainers don't get it enough.
Today's our birthday.
Today is the 12th of December. It is 5 years today since we released the first episode of Creep Dive.
Oh my God. Happy birthday, gals.
If you, 19. Dear listener, have been here since then, fucking A.
Come to our Limerick show.
Oh yeah, we're doing a show in Limerick next Wednesday the 20th. It's going to be class. We're going to be in Dolan's and we're in Cork on the Monday. I think Cork's nearly sold out, but hop along. There might be a few there. It is talltales.ie/merch.
You'll find all the
links. We'll share all the links in all the places. Okay, listen, what are we going to do? I've got something, I've got whimsy, and then I have got the worst thing you will ever, ever have to sit through ever in your entire life.
I want the worst.
I want the worst thing.
Really?
Let's, yeah.
I don't know if we have enough time for it now at this point on the episode.
No, we do. We're only 11 minutes in. They love the preamble.
Okay.
I also have one of the worst stories you'll ever hear. And it's probably in that category of things that we've agreed not to really cover. But
is it Jean-Benet Ramsey?
No, we've done that.
We haven't.
No, we haven't.
What?
No, yeah, we haven't.
No, intentionally, we haven't.
We have definitely done.
We truly haven't.
We absolutely
do
haven't.
That for Christmas.
It is a Christmas story.
La 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 la. I have so much, guys. I've got the Loch Ness Monster. I've got a horrendous Nazis in Northern Europe.
Nazis in Vegas.
I've got Chateau Marmont crazed stuff. I've got fucking UFOs in the UK. I've got an update on Dear David. It's not really an update because they're doing a documentary on Dear David.
I know.
Did you not give us that?
How did they not approach you to be a talking head on that documentary? That is an outrage.
Fools.
Listen, if I'm going to do my bad thing, it's going to be probably, it's quite a long thing.
Let's do it. Get it going.
Okay, we'll get it going.
We need it. Happy birthday
okay, you ready?
To us. Let's horrify us.
Can you give us a BuzzFeed headline?
I don't want to do this to you, but I'm going to. That's my BuzzFeed headline.
What is it?
Okay. I'm going to take you back to March 1999. I was preparing to turn 15, maybe 16. Anyway, March 1999, there's a 911 operator in New Mexico who gets a call. And she is like, hello, hello, what's your emergency? And there is just like the sounds of a struggle, but no one's speaking. And the officer is like, hello, please, can you hear me? And there's just this like sounds of a violent struggle. And then the call goes dead. But obviously the operator has the number that just called from. And so the operator rings back. And then a woman answers the phone. And she's like, what? And she's like kind of annoyed. And but she sounds sort of out of breath. And she said, it was just an accidental phoning of 911. Nothing to worry about at all. Goodbye. Good night. Puts the phone down. And so the dispatcher was very weirded out. And so she got on the blower to some deputies. So we're in New Mexico in quite a kind of like not very populated area. So rural. It's on the edge of a big national park called the Elephant Butte National Park. And it's desert and caves and a huge man-made lake and town, little townships kind of just around that area. Like the actual town of Elephant Butte had a population of about like maybe 4,000 or something. Very small little populations. And there was another town nearby called Truth or Consequences.
No, there wasn't.
Truly. Was it Truth or Consequences or Truth and, let me get it right, Truth or Consequences, yes. I have a listicle here. 8 reasons to visit Truth or Consequences now. This is from newmexico.org. So this town of some 6,000 people seems like a time capsule. They have hot springs. There is like, you know, there's a saloon and you can picture old dusty miners coming down for a lovely meal.
I don't in the saloons. It's a wonderful place, but how in the name of God did it get its name?
The locals call it TRCs as well. It's very odd how it got its name. So basically, there was a famous radio show that was... That's hilarious. How far down the fucking Wikipedia page do I have to go? So basically...
Truth or Consequences.
It chose to rename itself, right? So it used to have a different name, but back in the 1950s, it said it would rename itself after a radio show called Truth or Consequences. And basically, like the radio show host had said something like, I'll come and broadcast from the first town in America who renames their town Truth or Consequences. And Truth or Consequences in New Mexico was like, with it, it's done. Come see us.
I bet there's somewhere in Cork we could convince to call the creep dive. So many Cork creeps.
A lot of Cork creeps. Okay, so anyway, back to the dispatcher. She's gotten on the blower to two deputies and she's like, I think this is strange. I want you to go and do a welfare check. Here's the address, 513 Bass Road, Elephant Butte. Okay, so the deputy is dispatched and he's like, right, I'm driving to the house. Then we got two other lads. So remember, this is a big national park and there's two park rangers who are just like on their shift, but they have access to the radio transmissions of the police and they hear, oh, there's something a bit off going down, a bit weird. And the two lads are like, well, we're not really doing anything else. Let's head over to this address as well. Okay. And like, you know, check out what's going down. So they are driving and they're nearly at the house. When they see this woman kind of like panicking at the side of the road and she's trying to flag them down and they kind of pull over, kind of go, yes, ma'am. And she's like, I've just seen a naked woman with a chain around her neck covered in blood down the street. And she was like pointing generally the direction where she thought that this woman had gone.
So this woman was out flailing around and just happened to be two police cars. Or one police car. How strange that she wasn't inside ringing the police.
Yeah. But the, yeah. And then basically they said to the woman who had reported the naked lady, you sit there now, type, police are on their way, and don't worry about whatever.
Okay.
So they kind of carried on to the house.
Yeah.
It didn't seem to go in the direction that the woman was pointing them in. They just carried on to the house.
They must have radioed it back and then said, sure, we'll stick to our plan.
Yeah. And like by now then, there was a lot of different things coming in over the radio at different points. And so the two park rangers and the deputy all kind of got to the house at sort of the same time. So 513 Bass Avenue is, or Bass Road, is a horrendous now. If it was on Daft and it was in Dublin 2, it would be 7, obviously 7,000 a month. But it was a absolutely grim, to set the scene. Okay, you're in a real barren, deserty kind of place.
Yeah.
And there's lots of like bits of houses and trailers, and lots of the land is demarcated out by like these chain link fences.
Okay.
It looks, you know,
it's not great.
It's not salubrious.
Yeah.
And a lot of people living in trailers, but like settled trailers as in like stationary. So this one that the police were called to was like a trailer that had been extended out. They'd almost kind of built some extensions onto this big trailer, and single story, flat roof, kind of corrugated tin roof, very DIY, very not aesthetically pleasing.
I'm not planning permission for that now.
They, I'd say, you know, the way like you can get around the old planning with a temporary structure. Every single person in Elephant Butte had just a temporary structure, basically. So anyway, they knocked on the door and they were like, you know, hello, wellness check. Somebody made a call from in here. And that's when they heard another call coming over their radio again, that the naked bleeding woman was spotted running down another road in the area. This is getting chaotic because like there's dispatchers, park rangers, all in, and police officers all involved. They're all in kind of different locations. Everyone's hearing about this naked and woman running through the streets, but nobody knows where she is yet.
Okay.
But it's just like sightings, and it's very chaotic. And so they,
I have to say, I'm really enjoying this so far, and I know it's going to get really bad, but like this is I'm like, where is it going to go?
No, it's going to get real bad. Okay, so the park rangers, having heard that, knew that somebody else had been called to that call in about the naked woman. So they started searching the perimeters of the house that they were at, but they didn't have a search warrant, so they couldn't
get in.
They could only get in under the kind of welfare check act, so they could just like assess that no one was in the house, but they couldn't search the property. So they did open the door. Inside was a Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen fucking nightmare.
Oh dear. Oh, was it an accent wall?
With a velvet patterned wallpaper.
Were they bringing the outside in?
A lot of
burgundy.
Oh God.
I was thinking more about his penchant for wrought iron.
Oh dear. Some kind of dungeon of sadism.
So every window in the whole fucking place had blackout blinds, which really triggered my PTSD, because anyone who's had a newborn has been a slave to the blackout blinds at some point in their life.
And
anyway, so all the blackout blinds were on the windows. The living room was an absolute horrendous mess. This is like Jeffrey Dahmer levels of untidy. There was a bed in the corner of the living room, which never is a good thing. Because, you know, if there's a bed in your living room, it's maybe that somebody in your house is really sick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so the bed in the living room is not great because of that.
Yeah.
Or there's a bed in the living room because you need to, you know, keep somebody
alive
in the bed. Or they're chained into the bed in your living room.
All they could see was this bed. And they were like, that bed is haunted. The mattress was covered in blood.
Oh my God. And they must have known at this time that woman was connected to this house.
No, it was starting. A picture was emerging. So there was like broken glass and like all around the bed, and a broken lamp, and then this like big bloody ice pick. And then they start, like, it was like their kind of eyes were adjusting to the darkness almost, in terms of like the details that suddenly they started seeing. So it all kind of snowballed. They suddenly were like, what are we looking at here? In each corner of the bed was chains and padlocks. And above the bed was this like elaborate pulley system with chains and hooks. Crazy. And then they saw down by the wall, there was this box roughly the size and shape of a coffin. So they went to the box.
Oh no.
Opened the box. Empty. Except inside there was restraints.
Oh my God.
It was fucking chilling.
This fucking story.
They were like, this place doesn't seem great now. No, I wouldn't say this is, wouldn't be a happy home. There was a cork board on the wall. Like something you'd hang all like your mementos on, little stick pictures. A pin in a picture, just hung with homemade torture devices. Big Etsy vibes here. They started to look. So this trailer with the extension that was like the main house is like a living room, kitchen, and there's like two bedrooms. So like they kind of went and had a little look in the bedrooms. It was pretty fucking clear that the place was empty. So right. They were just walking around this abandoned place. And, you know, the bedrooms was kind of more of the same. There was like chains and hooks like installed above the beds. Like there was porn and gross drawings all over the walls. This was a huge design decision.
Right. Like,
these people, their entire, every aesthetic choice was clearly in service to some fucking intense sexual hangups.
Jesus.
Oh, God.
Sexual hangups it's all in service to their crimes. Okay. I mean, on their dressing table, there was just like every single thing you can imagine being horrified at the thought of it coming anywhere near your body.
Spiders.
Like, I couldn't even give you the list is exhaustive, but like pliers, scissors, clips, clamps. You know,
everything. Every pinching,
every item that you would say, keep that away from my naked body. That was all laid out and loads of sex toys. Then another 911 call comes in over the radio. And it's a little old lady saying she has a naked bleeding woman in her house and police need to come immediately. And
thank God the woman's gotten in somewhere.
Yes. So this little old lady was, I think her name was Delilah. I want to get it right. Delilah and Donald were this lovely little old couple. I think that mightn't be her name. Anyway, they had opened the door to a completely like stricken, hysterical woman.
God.
Who, the police arrived at the old lady's home. And the woman ran out the front door towards the police, just screaming, please don't let them get me. Please don't let them get me. Please don't let them get me. She had, this is extremely upsetting, a metal collar around her neck that was locked with a metal padlock.
Oh my God.
And was trailing a chain about 6 feet long.
Well.
So she had been held captive for 3 days and had just been through something unimaginable. And so the old lady and the old man Donald, who had called the police for her, they said that like when she was in their house, even after they'd made the call to the police, they were trying to help her. That
she couldn't.
This woman, her name is Cynthia, she just hid under the kitchen table. And you know, they had to coax her out to come to the police. When she saw the police, she said, one of you did this. And so they are getting her to the hospital.
Mm.
And they are just trying to get their heads around what the fuck they are dealing with. And remember, like, we've got park rangers and police officers all kind of scattered. So there was another park ranger, right, who had over the course of the hour heard all of the different 911 calls, the different sightings of this hurt woman, the welfare check. And he was like heading home for the day. But he was hearing all the different commotions and he was like, oh, maybe I'll go to the house that they're all talking about because that's Dave's house. And that's his workmate.
Another park ranger.
Yeah. Park Dave. Ranger Dave.
Fucking like, Dave.
Wonder why they're at Dave's gaff. Now, Dave is known for throwing a very good party. He's a wonderful host.
But has he got one door that's always locked that you're not allowed to go into?
No, as you can see, really, as they really did gear the entire house home design
towards partying.
Now, maybe they did do, you know, whip round the way you would before a party. But also, you never do a deep clean before a party.
No, no.
So was there any feeling from, what's Dave's friend's name?
Oh, this park ranger?
Yeah.
I can't. I don't know.
Okay, but he was
I don't have that information. But he was like, he had been to Dave's house. They're talking about Dave's house.
Is that weird then, though, if you'd been to Dave's house?
I guess if you haven't seen the bed and the chained up woman, then it would be.
If you haven't seen Dave's house in it's not made presentable for company.
I see.
But we'll return to the... We will.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We'll return to the topic of the parties. But anyway, so this park ranger was like, I'm going to head over to Dave's, see what's going on. As he was heading towards Dave's, white RV was coming towards them on the opposite side of the road. Dave. He was like, there's Dave there.
Hiya. Yeah.
Hey. They waved and your man, park ranger, carried on. Then, just a little bit further down the road, he was like, is that Dave fleeing? Because obviously it was all sort of coming to light over all these garbled dispatches that like they were finding some fucking weird shit around the house and stuff. And so he quickly gets on the blower and he's like, lads, I've seen Dave. And they're heading this direction. And they all, every single person who had been mobilized at this point, park rangers and deputies, all started to head after Dave.
Yeah.
And white RV, and he was in there with his girlfriend Cindy, and they thought that you were going to flee through the desert, but apparently they just went straight through town, which was silly.
And especially luckily, in an RV, because you cannot get up to you cannot get to the speed
absolutely
of like
not
it,
I mean you are it? Not aerodynamic.
You're
in
really
an RV
not. You have to take the corners really slowly.
Real slow. And anyway, so they managed to surround the RV. Dave got out and he was literally saying, this really isn't necessary. Like every law enforcement in the area at this point was around him. And they are over the loudspeaker like, get out of the vehicle, orange, or, you know, doing the full thing. And Dave's like, this is not necessary, guys. This is not necessary. Casual as anything. And his girlfriend Cindy got out as well. And she was bleeding from the head.
Oh.
And they were like, okay, Cindy needs to go to hospital. Dave, you need to tell us a bit about your house, please. And so they brought Dave, right? So this is how kind of remote an area we're sort of talking about here in New Mexico. Like this part of New Mexico, the like police base type place wasn't suitable to even hold like a suspect for questioning. So they had this boat safety training center that was near the lake. So that was like the only place they could think to bring
like a
him.
Facility, yeah.
Yeah, that had like, that was literally going to be, yeah,
had a room.
They could have a room that they could sit him in. And yeah, mad shit.
Start recording. Yeah.
So like, to say these people were out of their depth, like, and the thing is, there's nobody ever who could ever have been prepared for what they were about to deal with this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, and to be honest, it seems like from what I did research wise that actually they conducted the investigation well. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't one of those ones where, well, there's been, but there was other lapses. I'm sorry. They bring David to the boat training center. Cindy goes to hospital.
Okay.
Okay, so David's like 59 years old.
Okay.
Cindy is his quite a bit younger girlfriend. She's like 30, late 30s.
Okay.
And as I said, she's bleeding. And they're thinking about that ice pick back in the
oh yeah
and remember there was a woman's voice answering the second call.
About the call.
So, meanwhile, poor Cynthia has finally gotten the metal
collar
off her neck, and she's at the hospital. And she, according to eyewitnesses, so sad. She just sat there saying, "I'm safe. I'm safe. I'm safe. I'm safe. I'm safe here. I'm safe here." Then they brought fucking Cindy to
the same
hospital.
Of course, it's the same hospital.
And remember, the kind of level of infrastructure, it's just not here. It's probably a prefab. They literally brought, now they had Cindy in handcuffs, but they brought her past the room.
Good God.
Where Cynthia was. And like, Cynthia obviously was, like, it wasn't even a case of being re-traumatized because she was still just completely locked in the trauma. And Cynthia completely lost it at seeing her. And Cindy shouted into the room, "Don't listen to her, that bitch is on heroin." And so all the police force were like, right, get our ducks in a row. We need to approach this right. So like, somebody high up said, well, like one of the, you know, more senior investigators was like, don't ask Dave a single fucking thing until we interview Cynthia and get her entire side of the story. So this is it. She told them that, so Cynthia is very young, she's in her early 20s and has had herself a really hard life. So Cynthia grew up in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and she'd kind of grown up living with her grandmother. And she, you know, suffered abuse and sexual assault as a child. Like, she, you know, she moved out of that family residence very young, like at about 11 or 12. And then she began living with her mother, who she had never lived with her mother because her mother's lifestyle was not stable family home stuff.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it then became the lesser of two evils, if you know what I mean. Of course. She moved in with the mother, and like, she definitely had a very, very strange upbringing with the mother because the mother didn't know how to be a mother.
Yeah.
You know, and they were, it was basically generations of people living at a huge disadvantage.
Yeah.
And very much just forgotten by society and services. And it seems kind of, yeah. She said then, right, listen to this. When Cynthia was 15, her mother was murdered.
Oh, no.
God.
Yeah. And the crime had never been thoroughly investigated because her mother had ties to kind of the drug scene. And basically because of her mother's quote unquote lifestyle.
They were just like, oh, well, she's asking for it.
She didn't put it. They didn't put in the work. And so then Cynthia was like alone in the world, mid-teens. She was in and out of juvenile detention centers for drugs. And, she experienced just terrible, terrible ordeals herself in terms of domestic violence. And one of her partners, who she managed to kind of escape from, like, she'd been in an abusive relationship with him, and he went on to murder another woman.
Oh, for God's
sake. So at this point, Cynthia's mother has been murdered. Then her abusive partner murders someone. And then when Cynthia was about 20, so 2 years before we've first met Cynthia running naked down a road, her best friend was murdered.
What is going on?
And her best friend did sex work. And what is going on is that the authorities historically have cared less about people who they deem to be, you know, well, they always call it like, they have a phrase, it's like risky lifestyle, instead of like, this person is an innocent victim.
It's a vulnerable individual.
Yeah. And so that is what's going on. It's absolutely horrendous. But so it was only a couple of years after she had lost her friend that she was in the local town, Truth or Consequences. She was doing sex work, and she also was using heroin, and she ran into a guy she half knew just one day. Like, she was heading into the bar, and it was like, he was like, there's someone over there, I think, actually, who wants to make an arrangement. And he pointed her over to this RV. And she was like, okay, grand. Went over. She was like, this guy, introduced himself, Dave. He seemed perfectly normal, nice, grand. We kind of like made an arrangement. The next thing, she is like blindfolded, handcuffed, put into the back of this RV, kidnapped, chained to this like pole inside the RV. From then on, she'd like no idea what was happening.
She didn't know
there
him.
There was another woman.
She'd never seen him before.
She'd never seen him before. And there was a woman now with them as well, Cindy.
Right.
Sorry, it's annoying because one's Cindy and one's Cynthia. Cynthia okay. is our beloved yes. Cynthia, who is an incredible survivor herself. Cindy's last name is Hindi, so I might just call her Cindy Hindi from now on.
Perfect.
Cindy Hindi.
Cindy Hindi. And Dave. Okay, so they drove for hours. It was 150 miles. So oof. That must have been 2.5 hours or something that that Cynthia was chained in the back of this RV, fucking petrified. She says she was brought into a house, but like she had no a chance to see any of the surroundings. Yeah. She was blindfolded. She had no idea what was going on. She's put into a room. Okay. And then, and this is where you might finally, I think, recognize what this story is.
I think
do you
I
know what I'm
going to
say?
Yeah, so. Go on.
The tape?
Yeah. This fucking story, I can't, like, it's the worst, probably.
It's the worst. And it's, I found it was really strange. Okay, so this Dave is David Ray Parker. And he is an American serial killer, and he's known as the Toy Box Killer. And I think like this story is one of those ones that like is very infamous in terms of it being just like horrific. So extremely.
It's because of the tapes, probably, because you can hear them.
You can't. I've only been able to find a portion of. You can read the whole transcript.
That's right.
And I think the. But I think more so, I think it's all the footage of the toy box.
Maybe you're right, yeah. That
it's just so rough. It's just so rough. But you know what? I was researching it and I was like, this is actually one of the most frustrating stories I've ever had to research because there is so much contradictory information about it. Really strange. It's just, and I think it's because it's, people really don't want to ever think about it.
Yeah, it's so maybe. Bleak.
Like there isn't those kind of exhaustive investigative pieces. It's so weird. I just found conflicting accounts all over the place of this story. It was so like, it's so strange, like constantly contradictory information. So I've kind of done my best, but.
Do you think it's because nobody wanted to look directly at it because it was so gnarly?
Yeah, I kind of do.
So bad. Like yeah. with a lot of the stories you like told, this. You've got damn, you've got this kind of an element of charm and interest.
Charm,
you know what I'm saying? With the perpetrator. Like there's a bit of a story, or there really isn't with this perpetrator. He is a fucking, like a sewer of an individual.
It's a sewer of an individual is
there's
exactly
there's nothing, there's no way to relate. There's no point of it that you can feel kind of like, oh.
There's
no hook that you can kind of,
see, it's weird, yeah, because I think sort of some of the thing that happens, like I feel this really happened with Ted Bundy. There was a sort of sanitization
yeah.
of Bundy's story. Like there's the version
it was made palatable
people who have something wrong with them have gone in search of. Mm-hmm. And you'll notice that there's loads of detail of Ted Bundy's crimes that it's never
mentioned.
Referenced in the more mainstream coverage of it.
For instance, the neck
yeah.
business.
And the head business.
And the head business.
Yeah. And it's like,
That stuff's
been kind of almost like whitewashed out of it so that people can consume it and it's more digestible or something as just straightforward women murder. Ugh. But I don't know. Yeah, I think
every part of this is as bad as it could get.
This just hasn't had the
treatment
Bundification of it. Like it's never been made into a slick documentary series that's claiming to be thoughtful and
victim focused.
Yeah, it's never had that kind of treatment. So all the documentaries that do exist about it are real
gritty and gross.
And also
Do you think that's to do with his victims as well, and the fact that they were, inverted commas, undesirables?
Yeah,
do you know?
Probably.
Yeah, definitely.
Or, I mean, there's very strategic.
What's really sad is there is no, there's no number that they can be certain of in terms of the victims. They put it at somewhere between 40 and 60 women.
Holy shit. Okay.
Over a 40-year period. Like,
go back to where we stopped.
So yeah. Basically, what happened to Cynthia, as she told police, is what happened to, as we said, countless, the number is unknown, women before her. And she is in 1999, remember. And Dave is 59 at this stage. Mm. And he's been active, quote unquote, in this, quote unquote, lifestyle of his for since he was in his late teens.
Wow.
And so she's blindfolded. She's in this strange house and a tape recorder comes on. And I'm just going to read a bit of it. There's two bits of the transcript that I'm going to read. And it's chilling, but I've tried not to be like, I'm trying to take out the rougher stuff. Mm. So the tape opens. You're lying there in the darkness. Hello, bitch. Are you comfortable right now? I doubt it. Wrists and ankles chained, gagged, probably blindfolded. You're disorientated and scared too, I would imagine. Perfectly normal under the circumstances. For a little while at least, you need to get your shit together and listen to this tape. It is very relevant to your situation. I'm going to tell you in detail why you have been kidnapped, what's going to happen to you, and how long you'll be here. I don't know the details of your capture because this tape is being created July 23rd, 1993 as a general advisory tape for future female captives. Isn't that
chilling?
The scariest thing of all time. Remember, she's listening to it in 1999.
So this from her perspective, six years of victims have gone before. She has no fucking hope.
Yeah. It's just an absolute hope killer, isn't it? Like right away. And there's something about the tape. So the whole transcript is online and you can go and look at it if you want to feel literally sick to your stomach.
Why do I feel like I've heard?
I've heard a section as well. Okay. And it's him saying this bit about the... Hello there, bitch. But I don't think they've ever released the full thing. But maybe you found it.
I didn't,
but I also didn't go overly hard looking for it. Like, I just wanted to read the transcription. Really wish I hadn't. But the thing that I find... So the transcription is really fucking graphic.
Yeah.
Obviously, because he talks about all of the torture that he's going to inflict. But the thing that I found way more chilling than the graphic passages is the passages of kind of almost like sort of admin that he's doing in terms of like, I don't know the details of your capture because this tape is being created as a general advisory for future female captives. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, he's just getting practical here. He's like, oh, I can't keep explaining to all these women that I'm kidnapping and murdering. Oh, I'm just going to make a tape.
They're asking me all the same questions over and over
again. Yeah, yeah. Oh, like, it's the way that he just got, like, into this kind of, like, it's a systematic event. Take them, bind them, play the tape, install them in the chains. You know what I mean? It's just, that's where I find it's so chilling.
I've just a question on that. Is he there when that tape's being played?
Well, not always. Well, we don't know.
We don't know.
He said, like, even on the tape, it says, the information I'm going to give you is based on my experience dealing with captives over a period of several years. If at a future date there are any major changes in our procedures, the tape will be upgraded. You know what I'm saying? Like, this fucking weird, almost kind of bureaucracy of like, these are our procedures. Mm. I mean, it is so... Okay, so I'm going to cut down a little bit, right?
Like lying there, you're thinking, I'm absolutely fucked. I'm not going to be able to talk my way out of this.
Mm.
This monster, I don't know if you can dehumanize murderous events, but that's exactly what he's done there.
Completely.
Whether intention, and it doesn't feel intentional as part of kind of a psychological torture. It feels administrative.
That's it.
And like it's practical. He's organized.
It's so do weird. A bit of housekeeping here and now.
He's kind of like, oh, for God's sake.
Oh, yeah. And like loads of the tape goes into all the rules, like about the captive not being allowed to speak. Must address them as master and mistress.
Oh, Cynthia, here's another part of the story. I never knew that there was a woman.
Okay, so put that over your ear for a minute. Okay. So, like I said, some of this transcript is so graphic, and like I really don't want to say anything that will just stay in people's heads and be so horrible.
Well, I remember a bit.
So you know,
yeah, it's very bad. It's everything.
It's everything. But you know, basically, it's just so upsetting. I'm like, which sentence here to just give you a sense without being so horrendous? It's awful. It's all awful. It's like you probably think you're going to be raped, and you're fucking sure right about that. Our primary interest is what you've got between your legs. So, our. First person plural.
Right.
And another part of the tape, he refers to my lady. Something along the lines of my lady gets off on blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
And so it's from the off. There's, you know, two people involved. And so, sorry, I'm going to move down a bit, right? Just a last little bit from the transcript. The transcript is about 11 pages long. So I'd say the tape being played was probably about 10 minutes long of just horror. And there's then this bit towards the end that I just found so fucking weird again, chilling in its detachment, where you get the sense that he's dealing with such a volume of victims that he's had to streamline. Do you know what I mean? So he goes, now later I'm going to be asking you a bunch of questions. Since I'm going to be caring for your body for the next month or two or three, there are certain things that I need to know. I have prepared a questionnaire that I fill out with each new captive.
Oh my God.
Some of the questions are going to be embarrassing, but you should answer them truthfully and completely. You damn well better. I don't want to catch you in a lie. The questions will be in reference to your physical condition, any medical conditions I need to know about, any childbirth you might have had, periods and so forth.
Periods?
Now, your training, oh, they talk a lot in the transcript about training. Each time I ask you one of the questions on the questionnaire, there's going to be a proper way for you to answer it, which is basically like, yes, master, blah, blah, blah. Right. While we go through the questionnaire, you're going to be strapped down and basically he says that they're going to examine her while she answers questions, presumably to verify some of the answers.
Oh my God, yeah, this is nightmares.
Yes, it's a nightmare. Okay, so again, like we're saying, just he's dealing with such a volume of victims that he has streamlined the process to this like really chilling degree. It's insane.
Is the place, the venue that we're in now?
Yeah.
The trailer.
So this, I found again, loads of really conflicting fucking information, but I finally got it straight in my head. So the house is a trailer.
Yeah.
That's like double wide.
Yeah.
And then they also build a little extension on it. Okay. So it's a completely stationary trailer that's okay. Just like squatting in the desert in New Mexico. And then the toy box is a truck trailer out just beside the house.
Is it like a container?
Looks like a container. Looks like the back of a truck trailer.
Gotcha.
Like rather than a sweet little caravan like Cassie's.
And that's where she is.
No, so she's in the main house.
For the initial onboarding.
I think Cynthia managed to not have to be in the toy box at any one point. We'll get to the toy box. Okay, so let's bring us back, right? So Cynthia's just heard the tape and her ordeal begins right away, pretty much. I mean, he says things in the tape like that, relating to the victim all about what her life with them is going to be like. And it's so bad, guys. Like, but I mean, he sort of says that like at the beginning when you're a novelty to us, we'll probably be playing with you more. And, you know, then, you know, then things might settle down a bit. And then you can expect to have, you know, a bit of time, downtime, where you can watch TV. And we might only be out with you about 4 hours a day. That's when things have settled down.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah. And like, just everyone remember all of the homemade tools. Yeah. The, like, this is just out of bounds shit. Like, yeah. Okay. So her ordeal began. And, you know, it was in the house for her at this point. Like, she was chained to that bed in the living room. She said, like, at one point, like, David left for work and Cindy was just sitting there watching telly with Cynthia chained in the corner of the room. It's Jesus. The level of, like, depravity that's normalized is so impossible to get the head around. Right. 2 days pass. Okay.
Okay.
Cynthia is an extraordinary person. Mm. Like, she has somehow kept the head to some degree, because 3 days pass, 2 days pass. It's on the third day. It's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon and the phone in the house rings. Mm. And Cindy gets up to go and get it. I think it must be a cordless, but it must be in the other room. And when she goes, she leaves the keys to the bolt on the wall on the coffee table. And Cynthia is just...
in reach of Cynthia?
Well, she's just about able to stretch out one leg really long and just about nudge the table towards her. Uh-huh. She finally gets it over towards her. She grabs the keys. She has the mental wherewithal to be like, get that table back in position. Because that'll be the most obvious thing if Cindy comes back in here. And she can come back in here at any minute. And so she nudges the table back in position. And just as she does, Cynthia walks back in the room, realizes what's happened, and immediately like lunges onto her. And the phone is kind of, she's still carrying the phone, Cynthia, but she's like hung up the call or whatever. And there's like a big fight. And remember, like, Cynthia's like completely weakened. She's naked. She's chained up. She's been abused for 2 days straight. Cindy Hindi, the evil one, mm-hmm. grabs a lamp, smashes the entire lamp over Cynthia's head.
Fucking hell.
Cynthia doesn't fucking miss a beat because she's obviously so pumped with adrenaline. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, the absolute fight for her life. And she reaches, finds this ice pick.
One of her torture items. I mean, you know,
if you're going to have torture items mm-hmm. everywhere. And she manages to hit Cynthia. Sorry, Cynthia manages to hit Cindy Hindi. And during this time, she also manages to dial 911 on the phone.
That's on the bed.
And that's what the dispatcher heard.
That's the muffling.
Is the scuffle and the fight. And then hung up. And then basically, she had just about mobilized Cindy Hindi with the ice pick.
Did she do serious damage to her?
Yeah, she broke, like, yeah, she made a slash
in her
but
head.
But it wasn't crazy but, I mean, damage.
She survives, obviously.
Oh, yeah, completely. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, no, it wasn't. It was
but Cynthia's not out of danger here then. So Cindy
Cynthia,
Hindi,
no. So Cynthia...
Did Cynthia unlock herself?
Yeah.
Did Cindy Hindi know that Cynthia was unlocked?
Cindy Hindi was like dazed after the ice pick.
Yeah.
And Cynthia managed to unlock herself and absolutely fuck herself out the front door of this thing. She was straight into essentially a desert, being like, where in the fuck am I? Because she had been driven for hours and she just starts running.
Yeah.
And she sees Donald and Darlene's trailer. And so obviously at the point that she's running, there was a few sightings of her.
Yes.
But she was just like fucking eye on the prize. She got to their trailer, ran in. When she arrived in, Darlene later said that her wrists looked like hamburger meat.
Oh,
like,
God.
She was so destroyed. Like, after 2 days with those animals. And so they brought charges against David and Cindy Hindi.
Okay.
So they were both charged with one kind of kidnapping, one kind of assault, one kind of criminal penetration, and two kinds of conspiracy.
Okay.
All relating to Cynthia.
Fine.
And with this... these charges, they were able to get a search warrant.
And in
and that's when the story really
unfolds.
Oh,
turns
God.
Bad.
Hey, it's me. That concludes part one. Part two is available right now over on our Patreon.
So it's patreon.com/thecreepdive. Consider signing up. To everyone already signed up, head over. It's available right now. It's extremely bleak and also very dark, but very, very good. Thank you so much. See you next time.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.